Well, here's a common definition of stress. Stress happens when the demands that are placed on us exceed our perceived resources for dealing with them. So when the demands exceed our perceived resources. And that can happen in many different ways at work, can't it? When there's too much work landed on us with unrealistic deadlines. When we've got a nightmare relationship with the boss and we just don't know how to cope. When we feel undervalued in our job and we don't know what to do. When we're facing the threat of unemployment and we just can't see what any other options are. Now, of course, stress isn't confined to the workplace. And of course, stress in one area of life, it always spills over into all the other areas of life, doesn't it? When we're stressed, it can manifest itself physically. Not being able to eat. Not being able to sleep. Tightness around the chest, that's what I get. Stress can also manifest itself psychologically. We become distracted. We're unable to concentrate. We get anxious. We become aggressive. We become irrational. We become self-absorbed. We lose perspective. And the effects of stress, the effects are no small thing. Research from Harvard University says that work stress is as harmful to health as smoking or taking no exercise. The Institute of Personnel and Development, they say that 6.5 million sick days are being taken in workplaces in the UK every year as a result of stress. Bupa reckoned that 270,000 people take time off work every day due to stress. And stress, it has actually overtaken the common cold as the biggest cause of sickness from work. So how should we go about managing all our stress? What is the solution to being stressed? If you were to investigate stress management, as it's called, you'll read suggestions of various techniques for diffusing stress, such as meditation, progressive relaxation, cognitive therapy, sexual intercourse, stress balls, time management. You'll read of little tips, such as accepting offers of practical help, talking to someone, taking a holiday, hitting a pillow to let off steam. My favourite tip that I found was the tip of diffusing lemon extract into the air, because apparently keyboard errors in the office, they reduce by over 50% when lemon is diffused into the office atmosphere. Now I don't want to knock all those things, although we're not going to be providing lemon extract at the end, but I think there is a big, big flaw with all of the things that I've just mentioned. And that is this. All these remedies that I've just said, all of them, they try to deal with the symptoms of stress. They try to deal with the symptoms, what we can see on the surface. Whereas Jesus' teaching that we just heard read, Jesus' teaching goes straight to the underlying cause. He tells us how we can stop being stressed at the deep underlying causal level. And Jesus gives us three solutions to the problem of stress. The first is the intellectual solution. And it's an intellectual solution because Jesus is simply giving us a lesson in logic. It's a lesson in logic. And as he does this, all he wants us to see, he wants us to see that worry is a waste of time. See that worry is a waste of time. Just have a look, would you, at verse 27 of the passage. We're on page 971, if you've closed your Bibles. Page 971, Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse 27, at what Jesus says there in verse 27, sort of halfway down page 971. Jesus says this. He says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Jesus says we cannot add anything to our lives by worrying. Worry, it can only subtract from our lives by causing things like ill health. Or have a look at verse 34, the last verse, there at the top of the page, verse 34. Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So often when we worry, we are stressed in the present about some event that may or may not happen in the future. John Stott writes this about this verse. He says this. He says, "If our fear does not materialize, we have worried once for nothing. If it does materialize, we have worried twice instead of once. In both cases, it is foolish. Worry doubles trouble. So it's a waste of time and effort and emotion to worry. Jesus' second solution is the emotional solution. The emotional solution to stress and worry. I wonder if you could have a look at verse 26. Look at verse 26. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." Birds display activity without anxiety. They trust in a creator in a way that we human beings seem incapable of trusting our Father. In the dim and distant past of the summer, we as a family went on holiday to Cornwall, and our daughter Daisy, she's going to be two next week, she absolutely loved going into the sea. There she is up there, she's the smaller one of the two, you might be surprised to hear. But when we were in Cornwall, Daisy's grandparents gave Daisy a tiny weeny mini surfboard, although Daisy is a little bit confused about it. She calls her surfboard her ironing board, but we're trying to work on that. But she absolutely loved her. There she is, catching little waves and me holding her. Absolutely loved going into the sea. But when Daisy wasn't surfing, again and again, what would happen was Daisy would just run away from us, run into the sea, and point out to sea and just go out, 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 and off she'd go. So I'd have to charge in after her, and holding Daisy's hand, we would walk out together, Daisy walking right out until she was up to her neck in the water, and me sort of grabbing her out of the water each time a big wave came. Now partly this kamikaze behavior is because Daisy seems naturally to be an adrenaline junkie thrill seeker. I'm not sure where she gets it from, but she does seem to be that. But partly it is because Daisy trusts me, her dad. So Daisy didn't mind charging into the sea when she was only 20 months old and couldn't swim. Daisy didn't mind walking almost out of her depth in the sea. Daisy didn't mind waves much, much bigger than her coming her way because she trusted that I would look after her. She trusted me because she knows she has a dad who, imperfect though I am, she knows she has a dad who loves her and values her. Now, how much more should those of us sitting here who are Christians, how much more should we trust our perfect Heavenly Father? And just look at the point that Jesus makes in this passage. Look at the phrase he repeats. I wonder if you look at verse 26 again. Look at verse 26. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And then just look down to verse 28. Jesus now talking about lilies and grass rather than birds. Look at what he says in verse 28. He says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Are you not much more valuable than they? Will he not much more clothe you, much more?" Jesus wants us to realize how much more valuable, how much more precious we are to God than anything else in his creation. Jesus wants you to savor that, to savor it. Jesus is telling us, he says, look at the birds, look at the flowers. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the grass. And we love, all of us, we love to look at the beautiful things in this world, don't we? But so often, we go and draw the wrong conclusion. We think that God, he must be really, really present in that spectacular view. We think that God, he must really care about that beautiful view. And then we look at ourselves in the mirror. And in most cases, as we look at ourselves in the mirror, it's not such a beautiful view, is it? And we just think, we can't believe that God cares for us. We can't believe that God cares for all the details, the little details in our little lives. What rubbish, says Jesus. What absolute rubbish. It cost God just a word to create this world. It cost God the life of his Son to bring you and I back into relationship with him. Jesus Christ, he didn't die to rescue the blue whale or the lesser-spotted kingfisher or the Niagara Falls. But Jesus Christ, he did die to rescue you and me. How much more valuable are we to God? And if we start savoring that, if we start believing that, then we will reduce our stress, because we will not be people of little faith in a little God, but we'll be people who are realizing we have a heavenly Father who is more than big enough to take care of every little detail in our lives that we get so worried and so stressed about. Now, yeah, there may be times when we're hit by various waves in our life. Yeah, there may be times when it feels like we're going under as the wave of whatever it is hits us. But just as Daisy, she could trust her Father was holding her. Her Father would provide all she needed. So we can trust in our perfect heavenly Father. He will hold us. He will provide us with all we need, whether it is lifting us out of the wave or whether it is just holding us as we go through that wave of whatever is stressing us out at the moment. And please hear this, I need to teach this to myself just as much as to any of you. I worry and I stress far too much. Just ask my wife, Susanna. I worry about the future. I worry about my provision for the family. I worry about decisions that have to be made. I worry far too much. I need to hear this lesson, just as I'm sure many of you do too. Please, let us savor how valuable we are to our Heavenly Father. We've had the intellectual solution. We've had the emotional solution. Let's finish with the practical solution to stress and worry. Last Friday, I was walking to a meeting with someone in the Brunswick Centre over there. And as I was standing at the corner of two roads, suddenly some police motorbikes, they pulled up directly in front of me. They stopped all the traffic, and these three smart black cars just came right past me. And as the cars, as they turned the corner right next to me, they just must have been a couple of meters away, who should I see through the darkened windows of the back seat of the first car but this man, our dear unelected Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. And Gordon had some papers on his lap, and he was talking to someone on his mobile phone. Now, I don't know what you would have thought if you were in the same situation as me, but as Gordon and his entourage, as they were sort of speeding off, the first thought that struck me, it's a bit sad this, but there you go. The first thought that struck me was, lucky Gordon, he doesn't need to worry about traffic jams when he's driving in London. But it's true, isn't it? With the police stopping all the traffic, Gordon doesn't need to worry about being held up for his meeting. He doesn't need to worry about that. So he can worry about more important matters, whatever his papers, his phone call was about. I don't know, the fight against terror, the state of the NHS, whatever it was. And in a way, Jesus is saying a similar thing to us here in this passage. That Gordon doesn't worry about the traffic, so he can worry about the more important thing, terrorism. And Jesus says to us, he says, don't worry about verse 31, so you can worry about the more important thing, verse 33. Just have a look, would you? Look at verse 31. And this is what not to worry about, says Jesus. Verse 31. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, this is verse 33, this is what to worry about, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You see, in one way, we have been made, each of us, we've been made to worry. We have been made to stress. We're not supposed to just float aimlessly through life. We've been made to worry. But so often we stress about the wrong things. Jesus says the practical solution to our stress is to switch our perspective. Now, our salary, our health, our prospects, our children's prospects, so often that is what dominates our thinking. Jesus says no, he says switch. He says stress about the things of ultimate importance. And Jesus says two things are of ultimate importance. He says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Now, what does that mean? Well, seeking God's kingdom, stressing about God's kingdom, I take that to mean desiring the spread of Jesus, who is the king of the kingdom. It means wanting Jesus to be king, to reign in all areas of our lives, and wanting him to be king of other people's lives too, our colleagues, our friends, our family. Jesus says that we should be stressed about that. Seek first God's kingdom. It is of ultimate importance. And then seeking God's righteousness, I think it's very much linked, but perhaps more of a focus on encouraging God's standards in society. So righteousness rather than unrighteousness. Justice rather than injustice. Freedom rather than oppression. Jesus says stress about the things of ultimate importance. And if we do put God's kingdom, God's righteousness first, and actually the funny thing is that Jesus says the rest of life, it actually begins to fall into shape. Just look at verse 33, would you, again, and look at how it finishes. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, all these other things in life, they do have a place in life, just not first place. God's kingdom and God's righteousness, they should have first place. And when they do, well, then we'll be saved from spending our lives stressed over things that ultimately they are relatively trivial. So as we close, Jesus, he is demonstrating the complete solution to stress. Whenever you're being Mr., Mrs., Miss Logic, hear what he says. He says, see that worry is a waste of time. Whenever it's at the emotional level that you invest all your energies in worrying and stress, then please feed your emotions with the power of this truth. Savor how valuable you are to your Heavenly Father. And then in being practical, please do stress, but stress about things of ultimate importance, God's kingdom and his righteousness. These three, taken together, they are the best stress management technique on the market today. But money cannot buy this package. Money can't buy it. It is a free bonus gift for the person who trusts in the one true God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we marvel at how valuable we are to you, so precious that your Son died to rescue us. And this lunchtime, by your Spirit, we pray that this truth will imprint itself deep in each of our minds and hearts and emotions. Please, Father God, help us know that you are more than big enough to deal with every little detail in our lives. And so please, would you help us to trust you? This lunchtime, we particularly pray for those here who are currently experiencing a huge wave of stress in their life. Please, Lord, would you help them particularly to trust you at this difficult time? And please help each one of us to stress first about your kingdom and your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.